Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at CedarPoint.com.
Are you struggling to lower your bad LDL cholesterol, even though you may be taking a statin, swapping steaks for salads, and exercising while listening to this podcast? Ask your doctor if Repatha Evolocumab is right for you. With Repatha, you can dramatically reduce bad cholesterol and the risk of another heart attack while enjoying life too, because you're human. And with convenient self-administration, you can take Repatha in the comfort of your own home. Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Repatha can cause serious allergic reactions. Signs include trouble breathing or swallowing, or swelling of the face. Most common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site. Visit Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA. Talk to your doctor today about Repatha.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now, in a city where time disappears. We create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big, we go all night, and here everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. Man, I say this every day, but a lot to get into on a Wednesday. We cannot waste any time. Let's bring in from the Sporting Tribune, Brandon Deutsch, Grant Mona. Whoa. Okay, listen, I know it's been a day since then, but still trying to kind of, really piece together my thoughts following last night's two play-in tournament games. You had the Los Angeles Lakers defeating the New Orleans Pelicans in New Orleans. And you have the end of a dynasty. Listen, whenever it's the end of a dynasty, you do have to, give your flowers to that team. But anyways, the end of a dynasty, the Sacramento Kings in Sacramento dethroning the Golden State Warriors. Although I think Brandon and I would agree that the Lakers probably did that a year ago. This was just the official end of the run. Certainly when you lose by 25 points as the number 10 seed. So, okay, where to start? I kind of want to start with this Warriors-Kings game because it is the end of the run. It is the end of the line. There's no way they can run this back with the Warriors. So, okay, guys, 9-10 matchup. It was a rematch of a seven-game series from the year before, a series that the Kings worked very hard, by the way, to get home court advantage for that number seven seed. But the Warriors reminded the Kings, we are the defending champs. As good as you guys are, you're not ready to beat us. Steph Curry had the game of games. In fact, I was with Brandon and Darmoney Buckets in Manhattan Beach for that game. And while the Warriors lost in the next series to the Lakers, it was one of those moments where the Kings had to learn how to beat the defending champions. And now in a play-in tournament game, a do-or-die game in a 9-10 matchup, the Kings not only defeated the Warriors, they beat them up. They beat them by 25 points, the biggest the biggest margin of victories the Kings had against the Warriors since back in 2006. So, man, Brandon, I'm going to start with you. Any surprise there? And listen, I think this is a significant moment, and that's why I kind of want to lead with this. Certainly, Steph Curry will be back. Steph Curry will retire as a Warrior. But this is the end of the run for this Warriors team that from 2015 to 2022, obviously they took a couple years off there when Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson went down, but one of the great dynasties in league history.
Yeah, at the end of the day, we're looking at, I'm not surprised to answer your question. I did think they would win that game. I thought they would lose against New Orleans or in the first round against Oklahoma City. I didn't think they'd lose against Sacramento. I mean, no Malik Monk, no Kevin Huerter, and Keegan Murray turned into the Grim Reaper against them. I mean, he was great. Keon Ellis has been great for 3 weeks now. So, I mean, that's a guy that we just knew Keon Ellis was. I mean, if you've been watching Kings basketball, he stepped up, lockdown defender. At the end of the day, like I was trying to tell Armani Buckets this for the longest time, and he's a warrior sympathizer, we call him, the worst kind of human beings. No, I'm kidding. I love Armani Buckets. But a warrior sympathizer, and talked about how great they were all year. And I kept saying for weeks on this radio show, they're nothing special. Even when they beat the Lakers without Anthony Davis, oh, everyone was so like impressed by the Warriors. I wasn't. I mean, they've been hit or miss all year. To me, it's just this wasn't going to work. They have some good young players, and they can figure it out. But, you know, Steph's only getting older. They have to move on from Klay Thompson. That game-clenching performance. I mean, this is back-to-back years in do-or-die games where Klay Thompson was horrible, right? Like, basically, I'm considering that Game 6 game a do-or-die game against the Lakers last season, even though technically a Game 7 would be a do-or-die game, not a Game 6. But at the end of the day, I'm not surprised. I don't think it's all doom and gloom. I think they have smart people within the organization. I mean, it's one of the best run organizations in sports. Like, yeah. Even with Bob Myers leaving, I mean, Dunleavy knows what he's doing, played the game at a high level, understands basketball. I mean, Bob Myers left a good product there, and they still have some pieces with Podziemski. They killed the draft, Trayce Jackson-Davis and Podziemski. So at the end of the day, very happy to see them lose. But at the end of the day, I mean, they're still the Warriors. They're still going to be okay as long as Steph Curry's there next season. They can get some pieces around him.
Yeah. Listen, I don't want to, when a championship team dies, you got to give them their flowers. You guys can't view me. I'm going to, pop some wine. kudos to the Warriors. Listen, Grant, your Clippers team had one of my favorite series against this team. If this wasn't Kevin Durant at the high water mark of his career, that Pat Bev, Montrezl Harrell team,
that's crazy.
Right? Lou Williams came back from 30 some down. So your thoughts? And again, like, listen, and we'll talk about this. Like, Blake Griffin retired yesterday. I mean, there was so much to get into. But as someone who covered that team, and the reason, again, I was not hired by ESPN to cover the Clippers, but Blake Griffin was such a transcendent talent. His rookie year, literally must-see viewing, and Grant knows this, literally impossible to do, but like you had to tune in to see what this guy was going to do in terms of his dunks. And then the very next year, they make the trade for Chris Paul. They, they get some other pieces around them. So I was on that Lob City beat for a bit. So kind of popping some wine here for the end of the run for the Warriors, the official death of the Lob City Clippers in terms of, and by the way, I hate to put you on the spot. I think Blake Griffin, when you talk about retired jerseys, Blake Griffin should get his retention. Because that's the reason people were excited about Chris Paul getting, like, there would be no reason for the Clippers to trade for Chris Paul without DeAndre Jordan. That is why they made that move. But anyways, I'm kind of putting the cart before the horse. Your thoughts on the Warriors? I do think this is the end of the run. So we kind of, again, have to give this team their flowers. One of the great dynasties we've seen, a 73-9 team, by the way. And then they bring on Kevin Durant. If KD goes down, and by the way, they lost KD and Klay Thompson. If they don't go down, They beat the Raptors, and who knows, maybe they go on to win a couple more titles. Grant, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, Rosh, I don't have a glass of wine to celebrate with you, but in spirit, I'm going to do so. The Warriors caused Clipper fans. I can't tell you how many tears streamed down Clipper fans' faces because of the Warriors year after year after year in the mid-2010s. It just seemed like the Clippers could never beat the Warriors, ever. After that 2014 series, which went seven, and that was right after the Donald Sterling stuff, after that series win, the Clippers never could get back to that point. And over the years, I saw Steph Curry do things to my favorite basketball team that I do not wish on any other organization. So while it was a great run for the Warriors, I am not sad at all. I am not going to give them the you guys can give them the flowers. I will not be doing that because they caused my team so many losses, so much sorrow, so much sadness throughout the years. And like you mentioned, that Lou Will and Montrezl Harrell team, to get two against that team was so sweet. It was so great to do it. But yeah, in terms of Blake Griffin, I just want to hit that real quick before we go to Jake. Blake Griffin is a Clipper legend. He should absolutely have his jersey hanging in the rafters at Intuit Dome. I know there's a little bit of animosity between Steve Ballmer and Blake Griffin just because of how things ended. But I need them to make it right because yes, it is only right for him to be the first jersey retired up there. He is the one that got me into Clipper basketball back in 2009 when he was drafted. He is the one that got me excited about basketball and really, really into it during the mid-2010s with Lob City. He is the reason why a lot of Clipper fans right now and why the fan base is growing is because of Blake Griffin and what he did with Chris Paul and Lob City. So he deserves all the flowers, but for me, Arash, on this day, I am celebrating the Warriors' end of the dynasty. I will not be giving any flowers. And yeah, sayonara, guys. Good luck in Cancun. While my Clippers may be there in another 2 weeks,
no, but yeah,
I'm going to enjoy this.
Yeah, listen, you have to enjoy it. And Grant remembers this very well, and I remember this. I mean, before the Warriors became what they were, it was really the Clippers and the Warriors growing at the same time. You got to remember Blake Griffin and Steph Curry were in the same draft. And for a while, like, it wasn't crazy that you would select Blake Griffin in front of Steph Curry. Cause listen, like, but anyway, they hated each other. And for a while there, the Clippers were the last Western Conference team to defeat the Warriors in the postseason. And that was the Donald Sterling
playoff
series. Yeah, I mean, listen, I will never forget where I was. I was in San Francisco getting ready for, I think, game three or game four, but I was definitely in San Francisco. I was at a Giants game sitting with Dan Wojcicki, and he showed me his phone, and it was the TMZ report. And I said, no one cares about this series. It is all about this story at this point. And listen, to their credit, and this was the high water mark of that Lob City team in terms of just the significant wins, them finding a way through all that. And I've never covered a team with more press coverage because at that point, it wasn't just a sports story. It was CNN. It was MSNBC. It was Fox News. It was crazy. They found a way to win that game seven, and Doc Rivers became the most important non-executive. He was the head coach, but he was effectively the GM, pseudo owner, whatnot. And again, I guess they're going to do a Hulu. This was supposed to be on Fox and then like FX, and now I think it'll be on Hulu, but there will be a movie done about this. So, Jake, okay. I think this is a moment to be celebrated. And I say that because when we look back at our time period, and you guys are younger than I did appreciate growing up with the 90s Bulls, with the 2000 Lakers, and you guys saw a 73-9 Warriors team. Like that is something very cool. You guys saw one of the great dynasties in league history, and you saw it come to a close. I think it came to a close a year ago, and we all thought that when the Lakers defeated this team, but now it's like officially done. They got blown out by 25 points to the Kings. They'll retool. Steph Curry will be back. Steve Kerr will probably be back, but if they're smart, they'll find a way to move Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and whatnot. Your thoughts on the end of the run for the Golden State Warriors?
I'm celebrating, guys. I mean, there's an entire generation of kids that are probably a little bit younger than I am and that we are, that yells Curry every time they shoot a basketball, like guys our age yell Kobe like they do. And like, it pisses me off every single time because I understand it. Like, he has completely changed the game. With a 3-point line, has done that better than anybody else in the history of the game. But this is, this run is essentially over. I was in the building, last year when the Lakers defeated the Warriors, and that kind of felt like the Lakers, you know, got their redemption. Just not because it's weird, because the Lakers weren't that competitive throughout this Warriors run, right? So I probably look at this team a little differently than Grant does as a Clipper fan, who were going back and forth with them all the time. So I kind of just got to sit back and enjoy the Warriors playoff run, which sounds crazy. But I'm just excited to get them out of the conference and just some shakeup. Steph will still be there. He's going to play out his contract as a Warrior, but Clay, I mean, it's weird that the Splash Brother duo has essentially come to an end. I don't really see a world in which he's back. They got to move on from Clay. But I mean, they have young talent. Jonathan Kuminga is incredibly talented. I think with an expanded role, Moses Moody could be really good as well. And as Brandon said, they killed a draft with Trey Jackson Davis and Brandon Podziemski. So they're going to be, retooling. It's going to be a much different group, but I don't necessarily think the Warriors are going to be out of the picture per se. They just look very different.
Yeah. Listen, what happened to the Warriors is so interesting that I want to save what the Lakers did for the second segment. So let me ask you guys this. For the longest time, and I am very good friends with Michael Thompson, and so I've told him for years, like, listen, at some point, Clay has to be a Laker, right? Like, I mean, like, your son has to come back. You got to be in the broadcast booth. I mean, Michael Thompson, again, I grew up with Michael Thompson as a forward with the Lakers, and now he is the color commentator for the radio broadcast. And listen, Clay Thompson grew up in Los Angeles. For whatever reason, and that's something separate. Like, he didn't really get recruited locally. He went to Washington State. Anyways, guys, he finished the game last night. No points, 0 points, 0 for 10 from the field, 0 for 6 from 3. Got to imagine that, I don't know, like, that's the end of the line for him. Like, what is the appetite, Brandon? I'll start with you for Klay Thompson. Again, like, I still want him with the Lakers because I just think it'd be a great story, but, like, what's up with Klay Thompson?
Yeah, I mean, I think you could definitely get him cheaper now after that game, right? I mean, I think that's the positive if you're a Laker fan. Yeah. You're like, I prefer Steph Curry. Obviously, that's not going to happen. Steph's retiring a Warrior, and I think LeBron's retiring a Laker at this point. I do not think they'll team up, even though they've talked about it. I think it's going to be one of those big what-ifs in the history of basketball, right? I do think Clay probably comes to the Lakers, whether it's this year or whether he's 38 and he has the Dwayne Wade role in LeBron's final year in a few years or something, or if LeBron's even still playing by like 43. At the end of the day, I think he would honestly be a decent fit on the Lakers. I wouldn't pay him $20 million a year, but I mean, if you just put him next to LeBron and if he's open, he can play Torian Prince's role probably pretty well. I know it's not a high bar for a guy that's probably projected to now make at least 18, realistically $22 million a year, even though he doesn't deserve it. Team like the Hornets will probably pay him. Like, I'm just thinking, like, what? Pistons, Hornets, like, somebody.
Yeah. Well,
Orlando.
Yeah, right? I mean, but Brandon, you've worked out or know Draymond Green. I mean, when you talk about guys who, like, LeBron loves, and I don't know the whole backstory, like literally, like, for a non-teammate, he's never played with them. Like, LeBron loves Draymond Green. There's been talk about, like, them being connected at some point. He didn't have a terrible game, 12 points, 3 rebounds, 6 assists. But, like, listen, Draymond is great on a contending team. Draymond is not going to be great on a 10th seed that's, like, done in, like, before the playoffs. Like, there's been so many moments where he's, like, yelled at officials or yelled at opposing players or whatever, where it's like, you need him with LeBron. Like, LeBron can, you know, calm him down to whatever degree. I'll start with here, with you, Brandon, and I want to get the group's thoughts. Draymond and Clay, gut thoughts, gut feeling. Where are Draymond and where is Draymond and where will Clay play next season?
I think Draymond's going to play on the Warriors next season. Okay. I think Clay is going to play on I'll do Jake's thing. Orlando. Orlando. They need an extra shooter. I mean, that's. I mean, I think about it. It's a perfect fit. They play really good defense. He can really. He's not great defensively anymore, so he can really fit on that team. They need shooting, so it's a perfect fit. Draymond Warriors. I do think he'll play for the Lakers. Same with Clay at some point, maybe in LeBron's final year, like in 2 years. Not Curry, but I do think the other two will play with LeBron and maybe probably Draymond over Clay if you think about it. I mean, Draymond would be a perfect fit alongside Anthony Davis defensively. Yeah, I mean, yeah. He'd cause havoc. I know he can't shoot and can't hit water if he fell out of a boat. But at the end, well, I guess maybe not. He's 38% from three when they leave him wide open. But at the end of the day, I think next season he's on the Warriors with Steph.
Grant, your thoughts?
I think Klay Thompson's going to be in Orlando Magic. Right. I don't even know if that's how you say it. But he just it just fits. It fits right. That's just a glove fit for them. They need a shooter. They need a veteran presence. They're right there on the cusp. Draymond, I do think that he stays with the Warriors now. I know they're going to look at trade packages. I know that there's a lot of guys out there in free agency right now. Well, not right now, but in the offseason. Ananobi, Siakam. I know those guys are probably projected to stay with their respective teams, but you're going to have Paul George out there maybe, James Harden maybe. There's a lot of guys out there that they can maybe fish for, but I think right now they're going to try to go a little bit younger. You have to. Like you guys mentioned before, they drafted well in the last draft with Pojemski and Trayce Jackson Davis, who I love, and you have Moody and Kuminga already around Curry. A couple more pieces, and they're right back in this. Now, I'm not saying they're going to be at the level of what they were, but they could be right back in contention here soon.
Jake, your thoughts on Draymond and Clay? Like, you know, I mean, listen, like, I don't want to say they're at the end of their careers, but like, Clay has not looked good for a couple years. Draymond has not looked that great.
You got me?
Yeah.
I don't want to just repeat everything that everyone's already said, but I definitely feel like the fit to Orlando works with Clay, and I don't really feel like there's another obvious need where Draymond fits a hole. So I feel like going back to Golden State kind of just makes sense. I don't really know where Brandon's getting this. Clay and Draymond are both going to play for the Lakers at some point. I don't see it happening anytime soon. But I do think that Clay to Orlando makes a lot of sense. Like him going to a team that just needs a vet to make the jump that's kind of there and wants to take another step forward makes a lot of sense.
I mean, here's the thing about the Lakers. I never thought this would be the case when LeBron signed. Like, I thought when LeBron signed, like, we're getting him for this last couple of years of his career. Just historically speaking, what LeBron is doing this season is amazing. And I am not going to question it. I'm not going to do any deep dive stories on it. Like, where is he going in the offseason? What injections is he getting? This is Tom Brady. Like, he is one of one. Like we've never seen a player who is doing what he's doing. Okay, when we come back, man, I never thought we would like bump the Lakers to segment two, but not only the Lakers, but Team USA. Oh my God, I love this Team USA team. All right, we'll talk about them when we come back right here on the Mighty Air 1090 of Southern California, the Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back with the Arash Markazi Show on the Mighty Air 1090 ESPN Radio.
Nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now, in a city where time disappears. We create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big, we go all night, and here everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Welcome back to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. Just as a reminder, if you have a question or comment or want to win tickets to an upcoming game in Southern California, Las Vegas, or Hawaii, call our hotline 310-400-0340. All right, let's welcome back in from the Sporting Tribune, Brandon Deutschkant, Mona, Jake Dicker. All right, listen, we spent the first segment, rightfully so. Listen, the end of an era there with the Golden State Warriors, regardless of the fact that Steve Kerr apparently wants them to run it back with a team that was the 10th seed and got blown out by 25 points last night. But listen, like that's a head coach, you know, he wants to, he backs his players. Anyways, the Lakers. The Lakers, and again, we knew this wasn't going to be a blowout. I know the Lakers blew out the Pelicans the last game of the regular season to clinch the 8th seed. But this game last night that was for the 7th seed, you knew it would be a little bit closer than it was. The Lakers defeated the New Orleans Pelicans 110-106 to clinch the 7th seed. LeBron James, 23 points, 9 rebounds, 9 assists, almost had a triple-double, 3 steals. D'Angelo Russell, once again, having a big night, 21 points, 5-11 from three-point range, 6-6. And, sorry, 6 assists. Anthony Davis did play 20 points, 15 boards, 3 blocks. But the Lakers now get the right to face the defending world champion, Denver Nuggets, who have defeated them 8 straight times, swept them last year in the Western Conference Final. Grant, I'll start with you here. I mean, I think the Lakers did what they were supposed to do, quite frankly. There was a lot of talk out there. And again, I get it. Lose, you know, rest all your guys, rest them Friday night, crypto.com arena. You would have played the Kings. Listen, the fact of the matter is the Lakers got swept this season in the season series by the Sacramento Kings. They lost the season series to the Golden State Warriors. So they would have had to play a very, very talented, very confident Kings team. Don't know if they would have won that game. Maybe they would. Maybe they wouldn't. Like, their reward, apparently, you know, when people make this argument is that they would have gotten the number one seed, Oklahoma City Thunder. Listen, at the end of the day, if you want to be to be the best, you got to beat the best. That's the nature boy, Ric Flair, would say. So the Lakers, after a crazy season where there was talk of them not even making the play-in tournament, not even making the playoffs, they go into the postseason, go into the playoff as the number 7 seed. They get the Nuggets. Your thoughts on the Lakers last night and going in to the playoffs, Grant?
They won. They won, and that's the biggest thing. I don't care how they did it. Jake is a proponent of this thought process is, hey, they won. It doesn't matter how they did it. Wins are great whenever you can get them. And now they're out of the play-in scenario. That's the main objective. And Arash, this is why I've been preaching for, it feels like months now, to get into that 7-8 range, is because they got a favorable matchup against the Pelicans. I know the Pelicans are a very good basketball team, and Zion Williamson went off before getting hurt. But regardless, the Lakers were a great matchup with the Pelicans. That was a team that they dominated all year in the in-season tournament, at the end of the year, and now in the play-in. And they didn't dominate him. It was a great game, very invigorating. That's what postseason basketball is all about. But now, they get time off. They get some rest. Yeah. They get to go home. I know they'll have to go back to Denver anyways, but you get like, what, 3-4 days off before you have to play again? And you get Denver in the first round where your team is essentially healthy. I know that Jared Vanderbilt's probably not going to be available for the series. We'll see how that goes. But in terms of what they have right now, LeBron James looks fantastic. Anthony Davis is over his back spasms. And, you know, while he did struggle in the first half, he ended the game with a double-double. And he looked imposing on the defensive end. So for this Lakers team, Gabe Vincent also looks great. I mean, this was Gabe Vincent's best game as a Laker against the Pelicans, which is crazy because he was out for so long, and this is why they got him. They got Gabe Vincent for scenarios like this when they played Denver, so you can guard Jamal Murray. And I know Jamal Murray is very hard to guard. It's not going to be easy. But for the Lakers in this one, I do expect the Nuggets to win the series. I know I'm propping up the Lakers a lot just to say that, but I do think that this is going to be an insanely more competitive series. And I know that in terms of wins, I know last year it was very competitive anyways, even though it was a sweep, one of the most competitive sweeps of all time. I think the Lakers can take a few games from this Nuggets team. I think the Nuggets will win in six, but this is no easy task for Denver. The Lakers can match up with some of the matchups that they have. They do get time off. They're going to be fresher than they were last year. I'm not saying that it'll be an upset. Could it be? Sure. I mean, you can catch anyone. We didn't think the Bucks would lose in the first round last year, and the Miami Heat upset them. Yeah. You know, we didn't think the Lakers would go to the Western Conference Finals last year, and they did. So I'm not ruling anything out. I'm just giving my prediction of Nuggets in six. But the Lakers will steal a few games here because I like what I'm seeing from them.
Brandon, want to get your thoughts next. Again, the Lakers did what they had to do. They go to the playoffs as the seventh seed. It's just that the Denver Nuggets matchup is not great. They've lost eight straight to them. They got swept a year ago. Got to imagine, though, that this year will be a little bit different. Like, can they get four wins? Probably not. But anyways, anything's possible. Brandon, your thoughts.
Yeah, I'm not as optimistic as Grant. I do like the Lakers. And in fact, this is a hot take. I think these are the two best teams in the Western Conference at full health. And I think they're playing each other in the first round. So I think the winner of this series will play the Celtics or whoever gets to the finals in the Eastern Conference. Personally, that's just what I think. Like, if the Lakers can somehow beat Denver, I do think the Lakers get to the finals and have this storied, crazy run. And Grant's shaking his head, but really no one has been able to beat the Lakers besides the Nuggets in the Western Conference this year, besides Sacramento. But it doesn't look like it looks like they'll probably avoid Sacramento. At the end of the day, the Nuggets are a great basketball team. Seems like every game is the same when they play the Lakers. It's the Lakers get up to this lead early. And then it's like, okay, the Nuggets keep inching away. They come back. They're not on their game. But somebody random has like 20 points, whether it's Christian Brown this series, Peyton Watson. Last time was Michael Porter Jr., not random, third best player, but still at the end of the day, maybe fourth behind Gordon. But he had third. He didn't miss a shot. And then, of course, the next game, he went one out of like seven from three. Only against the Lakers, these things happen. At the end of the day, I can't see a scenario where Denver doesn't win in five or six. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it's four again. I mean, Grant is so optimistic about the Lakers winning a game. They haven't shown anything to be able to beat this team. They have no Jared Vanderbilt. Okay, yes, they have Gabe Vincent to guard Jamal Murray. They really need Jared Vanderbilt. I mean, again, I say no Jared Vanderbilt, I'm assuming in game one. We don't know when he's going to come back. I mean, he's barely jogging apparently last week, so I don't know if he'll be ready for games. But I'm not optimistic. A lot of Laker fans on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, are like, oh, we're going to beat them this time. We're better. I would have rather avoided them. I don't think they beat them.
No, but you know, listen, Brandon and Grant, you guys both brought up a great point. If you're going to play them, like if you think you're going to play them at some point in the series, you'd rather play them now when they're as healthy as they're probably going to be. Yes, there's a question about Jared Vanderbilt. There's a like they may get him in the series. But they got LeBron, like, in game one, they'll be as healthy as they're going to be for a while. So we'll see. Jake, listen, maybe not the matchup that you would have loved, but the Lakers are the number seven seed. Again, like a week or two ago, the Lakers were the 10 seed. There was some talk about, like, they would have to win two road games just to get into the playoffs. Here they are. They're in the playoffs. Again, maybe not the opponent that you would have loved. What are your thoughts on them going into the playoffs beginning on Saturday?
I need to think about what I say here, because even the things that I've said throughout the year on this show about this Lakers team, it would be pretty absurd for now to be the time that I decide to praise them. I just think Denver is miles ahead of where the Lakers are at this point in the year. And I mean, I was going to make the point that you made, whereas if you're going to play them just with this group of Lakers guys compared to the Nuggets, like the Nuggets, I'm not worried about them, especially after the run last year. They've proven that they can go through this difficult stretch of the playoffs, not burn out. I just like the Lakers to get them with the least amount of miles on LeBron and AD's legs. Because as you said, this is the freshest that they're going to be. So you're going to have to take the shot at some point. You may as well take it now. I'm kind of with Brandon, and I see this being more of a five or a six Denver series win. And then I do have Denver playing Boston in the finals. I know it's not, you know, the most creative pick in the world. I just think they're the two best teams in basketball and are both miles ahead of where the rest of their conferences are. Even though the West has been incredibly competitive all year, I do think Denver, even though they aren't the number one seed, are miles ahead of the rest of the conference.
we're all in agreement though that the Lakers did the right thing. Again, there was some talk that, listen, like AD is not like at 100%. Like if they were to have rested guys again, which was clearly never a conversation, not a thought. That you could have sat them out till Friday. It would have been a Friday night home game against now the Kings. My problem with that was that that was not a gimme. While I would have probably picked the Lakers to beat the Kings, I'd be curious what the point spread would have been in that one. I got to imagine and get. I'll get your guys' thoughts on that. Like, you know, maybe the Kings. Maybe that would have been a pick-up. But again, the Kings swept the Lakers in the season series. So, yes, they got swept by the Denver Nuggets, who were all sort of saying the Lakers don't have a chance against. They were also swept by the Sacramento Kings. Here's what I will say. So I'll pivot to this point, and I'll get your guys' thoughts on this, beginning with Grant. We've thought for a while that if LeBron James is healthy, that if Anthony Davis is healthy – and that, listen, we've seen some of these other guys step up. Listen, like, you're always hoping with a team with a big two that you can get other guys to step up. I mean, we've seen this team without LeBron James, without AD, D'Angelo Russell have a big game. We've seen, like, Austin Reeves have a big game. We've seen Rui Hachimura have a big game. These guys are all healthy. These guys are at least going into game one of this playoff series healthy. While the Denver Nuggets are the favorites and they are the clear favorites, man, like, this is not David and Goliath. I'm sorry to tell like everyone that. And while the Lakers might want to feel that way, they got LeBron James, they got Anthony Davis, they got D'Angelo Russell, they got Rui Hachimura, they got like some guys coming back at some point. Like, this is a team that it should not be a shock the world situation. Yes, they were the 10 seed a week ago. I don't know, Grant. I'm not going to be shocked if the Lakers find a way to win this game in a crazy double overtime game 7 in Denver.
Yeah, look, I think every game in this series is going to be competitive. And I think I want to mention something is that there is a real edge when you lost to a team the year before. There's yes. like a real competitive kind of fire, that extra energy that it gives you.
Yep.
Not a lot of people are talking about that, especially with LeBron. LeBron is not, he's a very smart guy when it comes to basketball.
Grant, mm-hmm. not only that, like, they really made it a point during their championship parade. Like, and I'm not saying that yeah. it was a player, but it was like their color commentator, their play-by-play guy was like, we're the Lakers daddy. Like, they got their rings against the Lakers. Like again, to your point, the best team is going to win and whatever, but you were bringing up a great point. Like, if someone like a LeBron or like an AD or a D'Angelo or a Rui or like an Austin needs something, not only did they sweep them, their guys literally like hammered that point home and tweaked it during the championship parade. They got their rings and like the banner, like they played them the first game of the season. This is a real thing. Great point.
Continue. And to add on to that, you formulated your whole roster in the offseason to face Denver in the playoffs.
Yep.
And here we are. I know you're missing Vanderbilt. I know you had him last year, but you signed all these other guys to combat what Denver is doing. So this is your opportunity. I think this is like all on the table. This is kind of, I feel like, why the Lakers went all in on this play-in game is like, hey, if we're going to play him, let's play him now and get it over with. I want to play him now. Let's handle it.
Yeah.
And I know that, you know, I have Denver in 6 still, but I just feel like those two games that the Lakers that I feel like they're going to win, they're going to be really fueled by what has happened over the course of the last 12 months. And I know it seems like it's nothing because I still think they're going to lose the series, but you know, there's a real competitive fire that comes from within, not just LeBron James, but look at D'Angelo Russell in that play-in game that we just saw. He played like a villain. Yeah. He played like a guy that hated the Pelicans and hated their fans. And that is something that I have not seen from D'Lo. D'Lo in the play-in last year was getting called nicknames. He was 2 for 13. in the play-in last year. This play-in, he was excellent. He stepped up and made every shot that they needed him to make. So if that's any indication, I mean, maybe he does that against Denver. Maybe Rui Hachimura has another breakout series like he had against Memphis last year. Who knows? At this point, anything can happen. Like, literally, we didn't even predict anything about last year. So why can't something weird happen this year? I'm just putting it out there. I'm just feeling it out. What if the Lakers just have this run a little bit right after a good play-in game? I'm just putting it out.
What if there's a Spencer Dinwiddie game like there was a lot?
Right. You never know.
Like, crazier things have happened.
Exactly. Okay. So, Brandon, I want to get your thoughts on this because I think that there is a switch. And some teams and some players don't have that switch. Maybe they do in their minds, but it does not show up on the court. I do think that this is the moment that the Lakers have been waiting for since game four of the Western Conference Finals a year ago. And they were at home watching the championship parade where the color commentator, broadcaster, whatever, of the Denver Nuggets said, Lakers, we're your daddy. And the first game of the season, they got their rings. They raised the banner against the Lakers. And throughout the season, there has been a lot of talk about that. Certainly after the last Denver win, they've lost eight straight. And even this week, and we talked about it on the show, should the Lakers purposely lose to avoid Denver? You don't want Denver because you're going to lose to them. You can't beat them. You're going to lose to them. You're going to get swept by them. Listen, we'll find out how this series plays out. I love the fact LeBron is the master of creating stuff. Nobody ever in the history said the king is washed. I think LeBron created that. I'm convinced he created this. People think I'm done, whatever. He doesn't need to create anything. No one's giving the Lakers any chance. No one's giving LeBron James. No one's giving Anthony Davis, D'Angelo Russell, Austin Reeves, Rui Hachimura. Like, you have no chance. You're going to get swept. I don't know, man. Like, again, like even us, I don't think they're going to do it. But, man, I think that there is a switch that gets flipped when you are a great team, a great player, at least LeBron James and Anthony Davis, and no one thinks you can do it. If they do what they're capable of doing, I think that they have a chance. Me personally would not be shocked if the Lakers, and it would be an amazing series, six or seven, if the Lakers do the impossible and beat the Nuggets.
Yeah, I mean, look, Arash, it's tough for me to say it's – I mean, of course, anything's possible in life, right? But at the end of the day – you have a point in the sense where everyone thought the Lakers were going to win last year, including us, and now everyone thinks they're going to lose, which means, and that never bodes well for anybody. No one's won a ton of money betting against LeBron James, right? So in his career. So maybe you have a point. I hope I'm wrong. I hope you're right. I hope they can beat Denver. But I'll tell you this, if they beat Denver, they're going to the finals.
All right. Jake, listen, you've been up and down on this team. They're here. They're the seventh seed. And to be honest, if you're a competitor, and all three of you guys played at a very high level, like you do have to give you guys your flowers. You want to play the team that beat you. Whether or not you can beat them, it doesn't matter. I want to play that team, right? Your thoughts on the Lakers going into game one this weekend?
All I've said all year is that the regular season is get through it healthy. It doesn't really matter what seed you are because you put LeBron James and Anthony Davis on the floor against anybody in the world in seven games and they have a shot. So this is all I've asked for all year long. This is the team that they've probably prepared most for. As Brandon mentioned, they filled the roster out this way. They have more knowledge on this team than they probably do anybody else. So if I was Darvin Ham, the first thing I would do at practice on Thursday is play Mike Malone's, press conference after game two last year when all he did was talk about how everyone was talking about the Lakers, because he gave them plenty of bulletin board material. So if they can pull it off, I mean, there's definitely a flip that can be switched with a guy like LeBron where he just locks in. So it wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a great point, Jake. I think you use the bulletin board material. This is not something, listen, LeBron James has to and had to create bulletin board material during the course of his career. He doesn't have to now. Like that material is there. It's there for LeBron. It's there for Davis. It's there for D'Angelo, for Austin Reeves, for Hachimura. I am fascinated by this series. Again, I am like you guys. I'm predicting the Nuggets to win. I think it'll be in seven. I think it'll be a good series. I'm hoping it'll be a good series. And we'll talk about it more this week. All right, that's all the time we have for today. Let's do it again tomorrow. Until then, this is Arash Markazi saying stay safe and stay healthy.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.